Wow, you want to hear about my morning? It's been disastrous. So Bronson and Mick Young are away, Greg and Bev away, and John and Annie are away. So who was going to do the sound and who was going to do the proclaim while I was doing the message? And then I got here nice and early and none of it works. Would you believe it? It all works last week, but it's not working today properly. So I ring up Mark. He's got no idea how to do it. So I ring up John in Sydney and John helped me. If you don't realise, the sound's coming through this, not through the speakers. None of the pictures are coming up there with the songs, but we're here. We're here. And this, when you realise at the end of my message today, this is an example of a wound that I've had that has been healed. If it hasn't been healed, I'd be flat on the floor crying with all everything that's gone wrong this morning. So this is a testament, isn't it, to God, all I'm saying, that wound of mine has been healed. Thanks, Jan. So he has sent, Isaiah 61 verse 1b, that's, he has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from the darkness for prisoners. I'd like to focus on this little bit today, Isaiah 61 verse 1b. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. Now, if we think about the word brokenhearted, what do we usually relate it to? Who can tell me?
Romance,
isn't it? Yes, when a relationship breaks up, our heart is broken. We are called brokenhearted. But I'd like to turn it around today. Instead of saying brokenhearted, I would like to say our heart is broken. Symbolically, okay? Not real. Symbolically, our heart is broken. Thank you. So, how do parts of our heart break off symbolically? How do we recognise that it's occurred? And what can we do about it? So that's where I'm going today, those three. How do our hearts break, parts of our heart break off, symbolically? How do we recognise that it has occurred? And what can we do about it? So, I think that's, what's the next one, Jan? I can't remember. What's your picture? Yeah, okay, good. So, over here as well, two places to look at today. Oh, no, it can't be that big. Here's a picture on the whiteboard of our heart. So, how might our heart break? How might we get cracks in our heart? And how might some of those parts even nearly disappear sometime? Let me give you a little example, okay? Some examples here today. So let's say a little boy is riding his bike and he falls off. He gets a shock. He gets a shock. His heart gets a shock. That's what happens when we get a shock. A little air goes to our heart. We get a shock. So he falls over and he cries and he gets a shock. A tiny little bit of his heart, let's say, breaks off. So he goes to his mum and his mum gives him a cuddle and gives him a kiss and says, it's okay, everything's all right. He's feeling good, isn't he? He's feeling happy about himself. But let's say he goes to his mum and the first thing that his mum does is that she yells at him because he's wearing brand new pants and he's got a hole in his jeans. And his mum said, I told you you shouldn't have worn those jeans. Now you've got a hole in those jeans. Do you think a little bit of his heart is broken, just that little bit? Because there's no comfort, there's no love, there's no support to bring him back all together. So he got a shock. A little bit of his heart is broken. There's a little bit of a wound there that remembers the words from his mum and is not feeling too good about it. A little bit of a wound. So then he goes to school and they have bike ed for a week. He's excited, so he goes to school with all his classmates and has bike education, but they are doing some of these things, couldn't think of one, and he can't do it. Now you know what kids are like. What do the kids do if he can't do it? Laugh at him, saying, you're useless, why can't you do it? Do you think his heart might break a little bit more? Because he's already had a wound. Now this is not a good picture, okay? I just got to do another one here. He his heart breaks a little bit more in that area because he's already sensitive in that area, isn't he? And there's no one to comfort him, love him, bring it back together. Okay, 10 years later, he's going for his license. You know where I'm going, don't you? Goes for his license and he doesn't get it the first time. You know what teenagers are like. You don't get something the first time, especially if everyone knew you were going for your license and you didn't want to tell them that you didn't get it. Another wound. Still in the same area, isn't it? Another wound that carries the memories, it carries the feelings of everything. And so his heart is broken even a little bit more. So what do you think he might be feeling by now? I'm no good. I can't do anything right. Everyone will laugh at me. Are those beliefs true? Well, to him, they're true, aren't they? To him, they're truths. I'm going to call them lies because they're not really truth, but he thinks they're truth. So all these little bits of his heart are broken off. And thanks, Jan, the next one. And there's a lie there. There's a lie there that he's believed. And sometimes if more and more things happened and those lies continue, sometimes we put a big padlock there because those emotions are too hard to go back to. They're too embarrassing. They're too hurtful. So we put a big padlock there and say, I'm not going down that path for now. So can you see that when saying your heart breaks? But Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted, to set the captives free. Let me give you another example. I have to start at this end because it goes back to the beginning. So I suppose an adult male goes to Buchan Caves, you know, down there, looking forward to it with all his mates going to Buchan Caves. But when he gets into Buchan Caves, he has a panic attack. And he doesn't know why he has a panic attack. The walls are coming in. I don't know if you've had panic attacks. I have. They're awful. And he's just crumpled as a man. And he just races to get out there. So a bit of a jagged part in his heart. So this is the adult. We're coming back down. Now, this guy doesn't realise why. All of a sudden going into Buchan Caves, he's had a panic attack. And then he starts to think about it a bit. And he realises that, yeah, when he goes in lifts, he finds it really hard in a tight, enclosed space. He realises that when he goes camping, he finds two-man tents hard. He finds sleeping bags hard in tight spaces. He's thinking back, yeah, this has happened before to me. It's not just as an adult. It happened when I was a teenager. Happened when I was younger. Can you see where I'm going? And then when he gets some help and some support, he goes right back to the initial circumstance, the initial wound, and he realised that he got locked in a toilet once when he was a young kid because the handle fell off. And this was the first wound that happened. It was only there for a few minutes, but he got such a shock, such a fright, that a part of his heart fell away, and it has been building on all these years. Started with the toilet, then he realised, it's claustrophobia, isn't it? He realised couldn't go in a sleeping bag, a two-man tent, couldn't go in a lift, couldn't go in a cave, and he's got all these wounds here that he didn't know where it originally started from. And it started from when he got locked in that toilet as a kid. And Mum would have said, oh, I've rescued you now, you're okay. But when he was in there for those few minutes, that shock, that terror, would have broken a part of his heart away. And all these ones have carried all the memories all the way through and they've built on. And he's got emotions, memories, he's got lies as well there, you know, the lie, I can't go in a small space. And every time he went in a small space afterwards, he panicked and didn't realise it all came back to this first example when his heart broke and it just built on them all. You know, we all have wounds. I don't know if you've been thinking about it as I was speaking. We all have wounds from when we were younger. And if we weren't supported when we got that shock, that fright, heard those words, you're stupid or whatever, all those things, if we had no support, we would have gotten a wound, would have broken away. And that broken part holds the memories, holds the feelings, holds the beliefs that we made when that happened. And so that wound can get deeper and deeper, as with this man here. And you know, children, because they're still developing, they don't understand things. They can't make sense of things. Whatever it happens, happens, and their emotions come out, and then they believe things. Imagine this boy on the bike, when he fell over, he might say, oh, I'm never going to ride a bike again at school. I'm never going to do this. I don't want to be embarrassed again. I won't do this. That person's not safe. I need to be perfect. I won't let people. I don't know if you've got any of those thoughts. I've had many of those thoughts over the years. So as we move into adulthood, these beliefs or these lies, we have them in order to protect ourselves. We won't go into bucking caves again. We won't go into a lift again. You know, and if it's really bad, you know, we'll put a padlock there, or we might even say to ourselves, keep out, don't go here. See those pictures? I'm not going down that path again. Have you heard people say that? That's too scary. Don't ask me about that. I'm not going to tell you about that. And we put these locks and these things there. Keep out. Do not enter. Because it's too painful. I don't know if you've got any of those ones. You might have. Last Sunday, Marg mentioned an example. She said she came from a big family and it caused her to feel insignificant and worthless. This can sometimes happen, can't it, when you have a big family? You feel like you might be overlooked. And a part of her heart had broken away as well. And stored that memory of a big family, stored the lies, the beliefs that I'm worthless, I'm not enough, no one takes notice of me. And then she said, in order to counteract that here, she decided that she would work hard and earn love. See, sometimes when we have these things, the only way we can keep them out or to try and fix them up is to do something else. So Marg says, I'm going to work hard, hopefully to get rid of that pain. But it didn't work for a while, did it? Marg said last week that it took her until they went to LL in England and she had healing there. Because we do need healing. And she said the sad thing too was that it also interrelated with her belief about God, that she was worthless and she had to try hard to feel good in front of God. And that's what happens with those things. Let me give you an example of me. Okay, here we go. Testimony time. So I'm going to start at the adult and go back to the child. All right, So my parents came from Holland, right? You all know that. I'm Dutch. And in my teenage years, they often went back to Holland to visit. And I hated it. Every time Mum and Dad left, I became very emotional, crying. Here we are, or wherever I am there. Okay. Crying. I hated my response, especially as an adult. I was embarrassed. How can I be 30 years old and Mum and Dad go to Holland and I'm falling apart crying? How can I do this? But my family just put up with it and said, that's just Julie, she cries a lot. And in their retirement years, they also went north a lot. My parents travel, as you like, during retirement years. And I'd still felt the same. You know, they went up here, they went there, they went there, they went there, they went everywhere. And I still felt the same, absolutely devastated every time my parents left to go somewhere. I was fearful that they would die. They'd go away and they'd die. But I had no idea where this belief came from. Here I am, an adult, crying like a baby every time Mum and Dad left to go somewhere, and I would cry, and I had no idea. And Mark, you know, Mark, he loves to go motorbike riding. Same with Mark. He went overseas a couple of times. He went around Australia, went everywhere. And I would do the same. And I was married, I was 30, 40, and I would still cry. I would feel absolutely fearful that whenever they left, they would die. And I had no idea why. Couldn't understand. My fear was so irrational. It was overboard. I mean, I was a Christian. Why couldn't I trust God with this part of my life? I would just get fear and anxiety. I mean, I loved God. I trusted God in lots of other parts of my life, but I couldn't seem to trust God in this part of my life, and I couldn't understand why. So I went to counselling, and this is what I worked out. When I was 7 years old, my grandmother went to Holland and died on the second day there. She was in her early 60s, wasn't expected to die, and she died. You can see where I'm coming from, can't you? It was so unexpected, and it was such a great shock to my dad and all his siblings here in Australia. She had one daughter in Holland. She was going to Holland to visit that daughter, and she died. So can you imagine the atmosphere in my house, because my dad was the eldest son, everyone coming to our house, discussing it, crying, fearful, anxiety, who's going to Holland, who's going to organise the funeral? My dad should have, but he wasn't going to touch that, everything. Can you imagine the atmosphere, the tears, the grief, the everything? And all us kids sitting around listening to it? Can you imagine what that is like? You know, I have no memory of that. But I believe that my seven-year-old spirit took it all in. To me, it would have been fearful, causing anxiety, and I believe that a part of my heart broke off with that memory, with the emotions, and with the lie. If you go overseas, you will die. Now, I was a kid. You know, I can't remember that. But as a kid, they can't sort things out. If you go overseas, you will die. You know, the parents wouldn't have even thought about what the kids were taking on board, would they? Got to be careful about what you discuss in front of kids. You don't know what they're taking on board. I took it on board. If you go overseas, you will die. So 2 years later, when I was nine, my parents decided to go to Holland for the first time. They'd emigrated, they were going back to Holland. They were going for 10 weeks. Remember, I was only 9 years old, a little girl. They were so excited, but I went into absolute meltdown, absolute major trauma. No one could understand why I was so traumatised, but my spirit had remembered 2 years earlier, if you go overseas, you will die. I thought my parents were going to die. I would never see them again. You know, in those days, letters take 3 weeks, whatever, no emails, no mobile messages, they just disappear. You don't hear again from them for 10 weeks. I thought they were going to die. So it built on that experience. And then when they went overseas again and again, then they went to a up north, and then there was Mark, and then there was that one, and then there was that one. And as you can see, I was a mess. I was a mess in this one. So every time someone left, I went into meltdown. Each episode built on the other one. The fear and anxiety grew worse and worse and worse. And thanks, Jan, in the end. Oh, no, not yet. I must have missed this one. It must be me. If you can go back, thanks. So in the end, it was do not think about it. What was my coping mechanism? Marg's was to be perfect, to make you feel really good. What was my mechanism? Put up a big wall. Do not think about it. Mum and Dad are going overseas. Mark's going away. Do not think about it. That was the only way I could cope. My heart was broken in so many pieces. Jesus said he came to heal the brokenhearted. All the bits and pieces that are broken from your heart. I've been working on this issue for a long time. Can't say I'm quite there yet. I'm not quite there yet. I still have problems. How about you? How about you? Do you have any behaviours, emotions, reactions that are not really suited to an adult? or a Christian? Have you sometimes seen the men that throw two-year-old tantrums? Yep, sometimes they haven't worked through things. Do you have over-the-top reactions? Do you get triggered by something? Do you get triggered by something? That sound desk not working this morning, man, that triggered something in me. Yeah, that was pretty bad. Are you triggered by something which causes you to respond some way that's really out of your control? It just happens. It just happens. You wish it didn't, but it does. Maybe do you have a fear of heights? Thunderstorms? Spiders? Dogs? Snakes? Maybe an emotion of shame comes up every time someone's mentioned something. There's a part of you that's broken off. It's got the memory and the feelings. You might remember the memory, but the feelings of shame come up from something in the past. Maybe you need to be a busybody and get involved in everyone's affairs. I wonder why. Maybe you blame everybody else when things go wrong. Maybe. All of these could potentially stem back to something from your childhood where your young heart couldn't cope, couldn't understand, and you took on a belief based on your feelings, not facts. Hey, you told me that one. Part of your heart broke off and it contains the memories and the feelings. The sad part is that one person could have so many bits. One might only be one step away. One might be interconnected. That's really sad. And some parts are so buried behind the padlocks and the signs keep out, do not enter, that you don't even remember them. Sometimes happens with cases of abuse, doesn't it? Abuse is so bad, it's just tucked so far away. The pain is so huge, you are not going down there. And a lot of people don't remember it until they're older. So how do we tell then if we've got broken hearts? Thanks, Jan. How do we tell? Well, here are some clues. We could look at our emotions, first of all. Do you continually display an emotion that's not really appropriate for your age or as a Christian? Do you display anger, fear, anxiety? That's been mine. Mine's a huge anxiety. I display anxiety even when in my age now, and I'm still working on that one. What about jealousy, judgment, self-righteousness? They're all emotions. The next one you could look at are your behaviours. Thank you. Marg mentioned that she worked really hard. Oh, what was it? Sorry. What did you mention? Cut me back. You know, we all come up with coping mechanisms, don't we, to hide things. Could be a workaholic. You could be a people pleaser. You could be extremely shy, that's a result. You could be controlling, manipulative. You might have behaviours that are not nice. And if you've got some of those behaviours, that you display them, you might need to start looking and praying and thinking, why am I like this? Where did it come from? Why did I choose that behaviour? What am I protecting? It's a thought. And the next suggestion, obviously, ask God. Psalm 139, 23 to 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Because God knows. God knows what's in your past. God knows where the pain's from. God knows how you're hiding it, how you're coping it. And God knows when you're ready to deal with it. He won't do it all at once. He knows you can't cope. He'll do a little bit of time. So, what are we going to do about it? Thank you. What are we going to do about it if you do have parts that are broken off? And I'd like to suggest that most of us, somewhere along the line, have had parts of our heart wounded, hurt. Sometimes they've come back. We've had support, we've had help, and they've come back. But there might still be some parts there. So, first of all, let me say, if you recognise it in other people, we can't judge them, can we? We don't know what people have gone through. We don't know their circumstances. We don't know why they behave like they do. You know, people, my family used to wonder why I was crying all the time, even when I'm 30 years old. I'm an adult, you know. We don't know why people behave like that. So we have to lovingly support them, don't we? Support them, help them, pray for them, help them, help them through it. And as Christians, well, we have the Holy Spirit, don't we? We have the Holy Spirit inside us. Love to help us, love to support us, love to bring healing, love to break through all these barriers and get rid of them, break down the signs and everything else like that. We have the Holy Spirit. But this is the hard part. I was a Christian. I had the Holy Spirit. And yet, some of these things I just could not work through. I don't know if you've had that experience. If there's something in your life that you just cannot get out of the habit of, you cannot stop yourself from doing, you just cannot. And you think, why? I pray about it. Why can't it do? Well, I've been through a lot of counselling. Let me give you some suggestions of what I've learnt. Thanks, Jan. And the next one. Oh, no, you've got to go way back. There's a brain one. There's one that says about the brain that our brain doesn't sequence time. How are you going to find that one? Can you go back a few steps? Our brain doesn't sequence time. Keep going back. Excuse me for a moment. That's all right. Is there one? And thank you, Jan, for doing this one. That's all right. I didn't upload my latest PowerPoint. So thank you, Jan. We've all been pulled out of the woodwork today to do everything. Our brain doesn't sequence time. So for me, every time someone went away, I was brought right back to when I was 7 years old. Even though I was 20, even though I was 30, it triggered, when someone went away, it triggered my brain right back to when I was 7 years old, and I reacted as if I was seven, even though I was older. I had no control over it. It was awful. It was embarrassing. And scientists have proved this. You know, when you get the fight, flight, or freeze, you automatically respond however you did whenever the trauma occurred. You automatically respond. You can't do anything about it. Can't do anything. Your intellect brain goes off and your emotions click straight in and you go straight back to it. I never knew that. It makes sense now. It makes sense why even as an adult I went right back to how I responded and the fear just came up. You're going to die if you go overseas. So that's one thing. The other thing that I learned, and this was really interesting, was that because I didn't know Jesus as a seven-year-old, I couldn't invite him in to the seven-year-old trauma or memory. I can invite him into the 20, the 30, the 60, and I started to work with that, but I could never get to the root of the issue because I didn't know Jesus as a seven-year-old. I couldn't invite him in because I didn't know him. I couldn't trust him. Who was Jesus? Why would I ask Jesus to help me through the trauma as a little seven-year-old? I didn't know him. I couldn't trust him. He might even make it worse. Does that make sense? You can trust him as a 30-year-old, a 50-year-old, 70-year-old, but you get back to that first example and you don't know Jesus. It's so hard. I needed someone else, a counsellor, to take me by the hand to the little seven-year-old and introduce me to Jesus. Does that make sense? That's why sometimes you can't get the complete healing that you want. Jesus can't heal that broken little seven-year-old girl because she couldn't invite him in. I need someone to take me by my hand and say, Julie, this is Jesus. He loves you. He wants to comfort you. Do you realise, Julie, that you're believing a lie? Do you realise that not everyone who goes overseas dies? This was just one example. Julie, I am with you. And the wounds from that seven-year-old start to heal. Jesus starts to heal it. And then it gradually goes through all of them and it starts to bring healing all the way through. Can't say I'm there yet, but I'm pretty close. Pretty close. That's what Jesus does. He comes to bind the brokenhearted, to set the captives free that have got the big padlocks everywhere, that have got the big keep out signs. But the Holy Spirit can only do it if you ask him, if you let him in, and if you find that you can't do it by yourself, ask someone else to help you. Go to a counsellor, go to a prayer ministry, go to someone. Because sometimes those wounds are so deep, they're so hidden, you're not going to get there by yourself. You're not going to get there by yourselves. You know that prayer, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. Thanks, Jan, the next one. I know I've got to go back. That's all right. I haven't set it up properly. That's it. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives. Do you think I was captured here? You betcha. Was I in the darkness? You betcha. There was no light of Jesus in a lot of those examples. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted, to set the captives free and to release the prisoners from the darkness. So as I finish then, do you think your heart might have some broken pieces? I'd like you to think about it as you go home. Do you think some of them might be in a big prison with a padlock on it and a do not enter sign, do not go here, I do not wish to talk about it? Are there some memories and feelings in a dark place that Jesus, his light just hasn't come there? You know, there is hope. That's what I want to leave you with. There is hope, there is freedom, there is light at the end of the tunnel. Those beliefs, those lies, those behaviours can be changed, no matter how old you are. Might take some work. There might be a lot to work through. Some of them are just great and they work straight away. But those deep ones, they need a bit of work. But Jesus has promised to be with us and to help us. So you have that choice. Always have a choice, don't we? We're going to do it or we're not going to do it. I prayed for many years, Jesus, please make me willing to face it. So many things I couldn't face. The pain was too huge, too scary. I prayed for years, Jesus, help me to face it. And he has, which is good. So I want to finish with the last passage here, Deuteronomy 6, verse 5. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. We want to love God with our whole heart, don't we? We don't want to have all of these bits and pieces all over the place. We want to love God with our whole heart. Not just part of it, not with broken bits hanging off here and everywhere, but our whole heart. I want that and I'm working on it. Do you want that? Are you willing to go to God and say, there's some things that I need to work on that are not quite right anymore? And remember, he won't take you any further than you can cope with. If there is something deep there, he'll only bring it up if he thinks you're ready. So don't worry about it. Don't go looking for things. Don't go looking for things. But sometimes say, there's something I need to look at. And he'll give you the strength, the comfort, the support to be able to work it through it. I don't want to live with the pain. I don't want to live with those lies that I believe. I want to be free to love and serve God with my whole heart, my healed whole heart. I pray you do too. Thanks.